Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. If everything goes smoothly, Northumberland County will purchase a former retirement residence at 310 Division Street in Coburg, to become the new home for Transition House. It means there will be 35 low-barrier shelter spaces available to those in need. It will have accommodations, food, and support services. It will also provide a 24-hour drop-in center year-round, giving unsheltered people a place to get out of the cold of winter or the heat of summer, or just a place to go anytime. On today's show, Reverend Neil Ellis, former acting interim executive director for Transition House, will share the story behind the purchase and what it means to those who do not have a home. He will explain what it means to the county and its impact on the community. And while it is a huge step, Ellis acknowledges the challenges going forward. You will hear him address concerns from neighbors, the downtown, and those surrounding the encampment. I'm delighted to have with me Neil Ellis, former acting interim executive director for Transition House. Welcome back to Consider This.
Thanks, Rob. Always great to be here.
When the deal to purchase the former Coburg retirement residence on Division Street was struck, what was your gut reaction in that moment?
I was thrilled. This was something that we were in conversation with the county about the purchase of the property, how it might be a really good location for Transition House. And so it was the whole thing. What they didn't come to us and say, hey, we've done this thing for you. We approached them and said, hey, there's an opportunity here. Can we work together and maybe make something happen? So it's been a collaboration 100% along the way.
What were the negotiations like? Was it tough? Was it easy?
I think that the company that owned the Coburg retirement residence, they were really looking to sell the property. They had, you know, the building had been empty for a while and had some carrying costs. So they were eager to move forward. From my understanding, the negotiations went very smoothly, went very well. We received feedback after the transaction closed from the individuals we were working with at that company, just thanking us for how smooth and easy the process was.
Now, were you at the table during those negotiations, or was the county acting on your behalf?
The county was acting on our behalf to make that purchase. So they were the ones who were involved with the negotiation. So I don't have a lot of firsthand detail about the conversations that went back and forth. They did act in that capacity of purchasing the property.
How about the decision-making process at the county? What were those discussions like? I mean, I know you went to them, but how did those talks go initially, and how did they evolve?
So I had a very good conversation with Rebecca Carman, who's the Associate Director of Housing and Homelessness at Northumberland County, about the property. We went to, we had some meetings with the owners and said, you know, this is what we're interested in doing. She then took that proposal to her boss Lisa Horn, and also up to Jennifer Moore, the CAO, and said, hey, there's an opportunity here. Is this something that the county is interested in doing? This is how we see maybe it can help with how we address homelessness within Northumberland County. They were, I believe, excited were willing to have that proposal go to Northumberland Council for them to approve the transaction moving forward.
Now, as you rightfully note, the purchase was behind closed doors, and that's absolutely correct. When any time a municipal government is purchasing property, that's normal. Mm-hmm. But did that mean that the public was not engaged in the process, that there was no public input or discussion?
Yeah, I mean, that does mean that because the way we when we work, the county is purchasing property, you know, those negotiations are kept confidential, you know, in order to respect the privacy of all the parties that are involved. So it does mean that, yeah, there wasn't the ability to go and say to talk with the public and to talk with the neighbors about that. We are planning to do some public consultation sessions. They're being scheduled for January. I don't have the firm dates yet. We're just waiting to line everything up with venues and everyone's schedule who will be involved with that. But the public can expect announcements on those coming in the near future.
I'd like to come back to that in a moment, but before we do that, how did you and the board come to the idea that purchasing the former retirement residence was a possibility? Can you describe what your process was about?
We were made aware that the property was there and available. And as things like this sort of happen, it's, you know, you've got multiple tangents happening at the same time. So I made one phone call to the county, to Rebecca Carmen. I said, hey, there's an opportunity here. Do we want to explore it? And then I made another call to the board and said, at our upcoming meeting, I want to talk about the purchase of a new facility. And so we had both conversations going in silos with one another. The board, when they heard about this opportunity, 100% everyone was in favor, believe that this is a very big step forward for us as an organization in terms of what this facility can provide.
In the end, why is this a good thing for Transition House?
It's a huge step forward for Transition House. You know, we're Northumberland County's only emergency shelter. We've got 22 shelter beds in a 150-year-old historic home. We have two washrooms available to those 22 individuals who might be sheltered there. Those 22 beds are crammed into four bedrooms in a bunk bed configuration. So people are literally on top of each other. It's very tight quarters. There is not a lot of privacy, and that's not conducive to the anxiety and stress that someone might already be feeling when they're experiencing homelessness. So this facility allows us right out of the gate to allow for increased privacy for the individuals who we're seeking to help. It also allows us to expand some of our services by having the warming hub eventually move over into the ground floor of the facility, allowing that facility to operate as a warming and cooling facility throughout the year. And be running 24/7 as opposed to having people have to leave in the morning and come back later at night. So it just allows us to enhance and expand what we're offering to clients, and that will result in better outcomes for people.
How is it a good thing for the larger community?
I think it's a good thing for the larger community. I mean, one, we're moving around the corner, and people look at the building and they say, wow, that thing's massive, right? You know, there's 47 units in that building, right? So the people think, wow, we're going to have a shelter that's going to be having 100 people in it. And that isn't the case. What we want to do, as I indicated, was have increased privacy for individuals. Our initial plan at opening is to, as I said a moment ago, to have that ground floor operate as like the warming hub. And then to maintain our current shelter capacity. So we have 22 individuals in the shelter, and then we have a motel program where we have access to 15 beds. And so we're going to take the motel program and bring it down to 310 Division Street and add it to our 22. So we're going to operate 37 beds out of the facility. So from the way we operate, one, it will make things easier for us because case managing individuals who are up at the motel is a little bit more difficult as they're not on site. And additionally, you know, those individuals who are in motel, they experience a lot of physical and social isolation.
Do you think then that this is going to become a mecca for homelessness? In other words, everyone within the county is now going to start to come to Coburg unlike before, where maybe people would stay in Campbellford because it was nearer to family, or that's where they found a shelter, or Brighton or Port Hope. Do you think now this is going to, because it's so large and it gives the impression that there's lots of space and it's a new building, and you've even talked a bit about some new programs and services, does this become then the mecca for homelessness and those seeking emergency shelter for the entire region?
I think that's an interesting question. And we've certainly heard that perspective that, you know, oh, it's going to become a mega shelter and it's going to expand and more people are going to come. A lot of individuals who experience homelessness, they have supports within the communities that they're residing in. So whether that's Campbellford, Brighton, throughout the county. And will some people come? Yeah, I'm sure that some people will come. Will everyone come into Coburg and flood in at Transition House? No, I don't think so. I think that there are individuals who have developed supports and ways of helping themselves in those communities. And I think that many of them will stay there. And what's also been happening on the side that we don't hear about is that Northumberland County and Northumberland Hills Hospital Mental Health Division have recently created opportunities to do outreach into some of those other communities. And so as we're looking to get a more modern facility, the broader sector, if you will, is also reaching out into the county, ensuring that appropriate supports are made available for people.
The location keeps you in the downtown area. You've alluded to this already, and basically within the same neighborhood. Now, they've been, as you acknowledged, a lot of concerns raised by neighbors over the years. How will this new building address these issues? What's going to make this better than walking around the corner 100 feet and being in the same neighborhood?
I think the ability to have the warming hub, or that drop-in center, open 24/7, 365 as a place where people can come, rather than hanging out on the streets, the individuals may choose to come and to stay inside. Having said that, individuals are free to roam and to go where they will. And, some of them, visit a lot of the shops and stores that are downtown. But I think that just that ability will mitigate some of those concerns.
But you understand that there's probably a lot of people listening to this that are going to say, this doesn't solve the overarching problems that many people say in terms of feeling insecure in the downtown, or business people who complain that there are homeless people frequenting their businesses, or that there's had to be additional policing patrols to ensure public safety. How does this help start to eliminate those concerns? Because I think that's where a lot of the concerns lie.
Yeah, and I've certainly heard a lot of those concerns, and I'm sure that we'll hear more of that when we have our public consultation, and we'll be taking that feedback and listening to it and in whatever ways are appropriate, feeding into what our policies are and how we operate and the conversations we have with our clients. I think, when we're talking about, hey, how do we get rid of this concern? Well, the concern we have is that Transition House is there in this community, right? A Transition House happens to be the face in our community for homelessness, mental health, and substance abuse, right? And addictions, right? So we're the face of that in our community. If we weren't there, that would still exist within our community, right? So what we're trying to provide is a safe space for individuals who are experiencing homelessness, who are struggling with mental health and addiction issues, to be able to come, to feel safe, to feel secure. And if we can create that space and then develop the wraparound supports and then enhance the counseling, the mental health services, the addiction services, all the things that need to come alongside. So people need a place that they can feel safe, where they can live. And then those others, and once they feel that, now they're in a position to engage and services, right? Currently at Transition House, the way that individuals are required to live there because of the cramped quarters, they don't have the ability to start feeling safe and relaxing to make that decision to engage in those services. So I think that as we move down the road, this is just one step in saying, hey, we're creating an environment which is more conducive to individuals seeking and asking for that help, and then ensuring that that help, mental health, substance use, all of that is there and available for people.
The county, in its press release, said that this is a modernization of shelter services. What do you think they meant by that?
Yeah, we talk a lot about, you know, what's the appropriate word, you know, in terms of what we talk about. And we like the idea of modernization. One, because it takes Transition House out of a 150-year-old heritage building and brings it into a much more modern facility, that's more suited for a shelter than the building we're currently in. It also allows us to take a look at all of the programming and things that we're running, right? So this building, in addition to the 47 livable units that are there, each floor has dedicated office space, storage space. And so that's going to allow us to create space for community partners to come in, to meet with individuals who are staying at Transition House, and to do that counseling work and that work that I alluded to earlier, right? Much of the health care that individuals experiencing homelessness is only available to them through the Northumberland paramedics paramedicine program. And so they already come to Transition House once or twice a week, but there's no privacy to meet with clients. Well, we want to create a clinic room where now they can have that health care and they can have the dignity that everyone else gets when they go to the doctor's office, of a private room to talk about the things that are concerning them and to get the help that's available to them through that program. And I think that that's huge. What this allows in modernizing the facility is it allows us to increase the dignity to individuals who are experiencing homelessness and recognize their humanity, their value, and their worth.
How's all this being paid for?
It'll be coming through Northumberland. It comes through a variety of sources, I guess. And I'm not an expert on where all the sources of the dollars come from. But some of the money is for what's known as HPP funding. So homelessness prevention planning. I can never remember what all the P's stand for. But that money flows from the province and then it's sent to the different service providers, of which Northumberland County is the municipality that sends that down to us. So we get a slice of that funding. And some of it will also be coming from levy dollars, I imagine, as well. Northumberland County themselves would be probably give you a far more accurate answer in terms of that. Our goal with this, in terms of what is being spent on homelessness and system response in making this move, is to try to be cost neutral or potentially even find savings. So right now, money comes to Transition House for the programs that we run. We run the motel program. And so there's a cost in renting hotel rooms. And then there's a cost of having the warming hub at an independent location as well. So the goal in bringing everything together is to be cost neutral at the one facility.
What was the purchase price? Do you know?
$2.3 million plus closing costs.
And how much is it going to then be for annual costs? Now, what is your budget now, and what do you anticipate it being once you move?
Our budget will probably go up slightly. Right now, our budget is in and around $1 million a year. I anticipate we're working on draft proposals of what the budget might look like. We know we'll need increased staffing. We have a sense of what some of those fixed costs of heating and gas and utilities are going to be like. So we anticipate that we may see our budget go upwards to $1.4 or $1.5 million in terms of our operating costs in the new facility.
Is Transition House responsible for any fundraising or other costs other than the ones that we've just talked about that you normally provide? In other words, are you going to have to start, you know, holding bake sales or whatever?
We won't be holding bake sales. Well, maybe we will. Don't quote me on that. I love a good bake sale, Rob. I'm glad that you mentioned that, actually, because it's something that I wanted to talk about. One, the board is committed to doing fundraising to help facilitate the cost of this new facility. But what's been really interesting, so we haven't done, other than this being announced. The board or the county, for that matter, hasn't publicly asked individuals for funding. And since the announcement was made last week on Monday, the Transition House has seen an upswing in donations through our Canada Helps account. In the first 2 days, I think we received just under $2,000 in donations, some of which are monthly reoccurring donors. And just this morning before I got on with you, Rob, I received an email that we received a $5,000 anonymous donation. And so to that individual and to all the individuals who have contributed in the last week or so, thank you so much for recognizing the value of what Transition House does, and especially as we approach Christmas, we're in some tougher economic times right now. People choosing to donate and give of their hard-earned money speaks to their belief of what we're doing and the impact that this new facility can have.
Will this eliminate things like the encampment?
I can't say. I would hope that individuals who are in the encampment would choose to come inside. I would hope that they would choose that now. I can understand and respect that because of the way we're able to operate right now, some people don't want to live in close confines with others, like what they have to do with the house. We can't accept couples. We can't accommodate pets. And so there's a lot of barriers to coming into Transition House. And so I hope that individuals who are in the encampment might say, hey, here's an opportunity for me to come inside to get warm, to have some private space and some personal space, and to get well. So I would hope that individuals who are living in the encampment would take that opportunity. We certainly will be trying to find ways to engage with them to say, hey, come on in. Some of them have had bad experiences with us, and we'll be asking them, hey, give us another chance. Let's try this again, because we want good for people, right? We want people to live whole and good and full lives. And that includes having good shelter. And really, we want people to be housed. And for those experiencing homelessness, this can just be the first step on that journey towards permanent housing.
Will there be a harm reduction component to this?
So Transition House works with a lot of our partners in the community in terms of harm reduction. So what we offer in terms of harm reduction is we would provide safe supplies. We know that not all, but many of our clients do use substances. And we want to ensure that if they are going to make that choice to do so, that the supplies that they're using are clean. And so we partner with the health unit and we receive those supplies so they can use. They're not able to do so in our facilities, right? They're not able to use substances in our facilities. So we're not... we are not, nor do we have an intention of becoming a safe injection site at Transition House. That's not currently in the plans. I believe that more firmly falls under healthcare, and that would be, as a colleague of mine says, mission drift. That's not our primary focus. We can provide the supplies to ensure that people have clean supplies that they're using, but we don't have an intention of moving into like a safe injection site.
Transition House has had some issues in the past with its leadership, with its board. It hasn't always been a smooth sailing for you guys. How can we feel confident that you guys are ready to take this huge step when it's been months for you to get a new executive director? Like I said, you've had some pretty big hurdles to clear over the years. Why should we feel confident you guys are up to this big task?
That's a fair question and a good question. I've been chair of the board and, acted as acting executive director for, about 10 months now. I was invited by community partners to come on board Transition House when it was at a very period of turmoil. And prior to that, I would have said I was a critic of Transition House. And of course, now I'm leading that organization that I was once fairly critical of. one of the mandates that I was asked to come on board along with Megan McDonald and Allison Lester, who joined the board at the same time as me, was to provide some stabilization to the organization to ensure that it, you know, one could continue to operate and meet its mandate. And I think that we've done that, providing that stability. We have had a very exhaustive search for an executive director, certainly longer than I would have liked. I would have liked to have worked myself out of that acting executive director job much sooner than we have. But we're really pleased with the process that we went through. And we have Ike Nwebe coming. He's going to be joining us as executive director. And we're really excited to have Ike come and join us. He brings a lot of experience from his time in Toronto, working in the sheltering system there. He's very relational. And one of the things that we really liked about him was he engages with the community. He's a community partner. And we know that that's something that Transition House needed as well. And so we're very happy to have Ike joining our team as executive director.
Well, speaking of that, have you handed over a headache or an aspirin?
I think I've handed over an aspirin. I think Transition House is well on its way to demonstrating that it is a leader in the community in terms of providing services to those experiencing homelessness. People have been critical of us in the past. People will be critical of us in the future. We expect that. It's not easy work. It's very difficult and challenging work. The staff at Transition House, they pour their heart and soul out each and every day, working in difficult conditions, but trying to have the best outcomes for individuals. And I think we're at this point, we're well situated on a good path to engage in this next part of the lifespan of Transition House.
Neil Ellis, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
That was Neil Ellis, former acting interim executive director for Transition House. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.